Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans. Oh.
Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, we got a big show ahead today. This is going to be like riding a rocket ship, I think.
We got a lot of different people we're talking to today.
You got to keep your hands inside the ride and make sure you're buckled tight because this is going to be a busy one. Hey, hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. It's the same thing for Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those different things. Make sure you hit us up there and follow Around the House Nation, where we have joined their closed group. I want to see the projects you're working on this beautiful summer week.
Absolutely. Also, head over to our website, aroundthehouseonline.com. That is our all-inclusive kind of one-stop shop for everything from the podcast, from a way to contact us. Both, you can send us an email with just your comment or concern. But if you actually have a DIY question on a project that you're working on, we have a phone number you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is 971-233-8992. You're going to leave a message and we'll call you back. Back and we can record you and put you in the show.
You got it. Speaking of that, let's run out to Marshall from Reading, PA.
Welcome to Around the House, brother.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anyway, two questions. One is, it's one of those little single lever things that switches on and off the hot, cold and hot water for the washing machine.
Yeah, it's got that little kind of, basically it's a switch almost that shuts it off and on versus a regular valve. I gotcha.
All right, so it seems like I have to replace it again. It's leaking. And I'm, because it's brass, and I'm not expecting it really to wear out. I figured this would be the third time I have to replace the thing. And it's about once every 10 years or so. Is that normal?
Yeah, what happens is they don't get used a lot. You're not shutting that off a lot. So.
Oh, I do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. What can happen on those? And you might just switch back to, instead of having that switch style, you could replace it with more of a regular valve style. At least the valve style, it's going to be repairable, where you could get in there and change a seat out or something on it. With those switch ones, they're just kind of that switch, and they're kind of a throwaway valve versus some of the other ones where it's more of a standard valve. You can actually go in and replace the, take it apart and actually take the seat and stuff out of it and replace it
that way. You can re-seat it, replace the washer and all that.
Correct.
I probably would not have installed it, except this is what was there when we bought the house.
Of course.
And so this way I can just pull off the old one and, assuming it haven't changed sizes, you just plug the other one back on.
Yeah.
So that's normal. Okay. The other question I had was, I went up to change the floodlights, the outside floodlights.
Mm-hmm.
We had some siding work done last year. And it seems like they just have a single screw into the plastic siding holding up the light. And it's a dual light, the motion detector thing. And before, I didn't realize it, before it had been, an electrical box. But I guess because they were going to cover it up, they they didn't want to bother to put it back on. So yeah. It seems very flimsy. Do you think that's the code?
No, you need to have an electrical box back there, and then really that light needs to fasten into that electrical box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I would do is if you're handy enough to try it, is I just turn the power off to that and reinstall. If there's no box back there, put in one of the remodel boxes that you can get that would fit in there, and then use the right screws, you know, to attach that exterior light back into the box and make sure it's all sealed up well. Because the last thing you need to do is have no box back there, and maybe some water gets back there with a storm, and you guys been wet this last week, but all it takes is some water to get back in there, and if it gets around the seal and you know, you want that box to kind of protect you from one, a fire, and two, maybe keep the water out of that.
But actually they left the rectangular space, and they have it's like the cap of something sticking out. It's not, I don't think there's room to put in a real box, and what the fitting, the light fixtures are around, and what I have there is a rectangle now.
Is this is this a vinyl siding where they've got that kind of light box that goes in there? Okay, that
but
makes sense.
It isn't really a box. It's not.
Really, what that's designed to do is they're supposed to cut the back of that out and then have the box behind it, versus in that recess. Versus that, it's not really designed to be the box because it is just vinyl.
So I got screwed here, huh?
Yeah, they didn't really do that right. There's probably a way to fit a box back in there, even a shallow box. You might have to cut back through the back of that, what would be the back of that kind of box back there where that light fits in there to give you access to put a box in. And maybe they just got even more lazy and the box is behind it and they just covered it up.
I doubt that because the bulbs through, I think. All right. Anyhow, you told me it isn't right. Since it's only a year, I'm going to call them and see what I can do.
That was my next suggestion. Give them a call and say, hey, this isn't right. And the last thing you need to do is get moisture back in there and stuff. And that box is really to kind of keep it all contained inside an area so you don't get a fire as easy back in the back of that if you ever had some kind of an issue.
Yeah, I think they did that to all three of them. They just screwed it into the siding.
Sounds like they took a shortcut and they need to get out there and get that fixed for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. I like your show. I just forget to turn it on at the right time on Saturdays.
Hey, thanks, Marshall. And if you ever miss it, you can always catch the podcast out there. You can listen to that any place you catch podcasts, too. So if you do miss it because you're out running to the store or anything else, really appreciate it. And I'll give you a shout next time we get back. I'll be back in your area here next spring again. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, I show up and I get in every time I come in town there. I go visit Mike Foston there and show up and do his show during the week. So we usually have a good time.
All right, great. Well, thanks a lot.
Hey, have thanks for calling. Weekend. Thanks for listening around the house. Appreciate it.
Wow, what a great call from Marshall. And you can join us in the conversation at 971-233-8992. No matter what time you call, no matter what time you listen to the show or the podcast, you can catch us right here 24/7 in the studio. Leave us your name, leave us your number. If you have a question you want us to answer on air, that's great. Otherwise, we'll just give you a call back.
We love to hear from you. We want to know any of the issues that you're having right now. Now, what's the story with Constructing Hope?
Now, these guys are awesome. Now, it's funny. Dave Dahl and I talked about this maybe 16 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, man, they are just out there taking people that were, formerly incarcerated or homeless or combination of the both, and they're getting them into the trades. And so they're doing this this cool fundraiser right now, trying to raise funds because they lost all their grant money because of the whole COVID thing. So we're actually diving into that. So we're going to talk with Dave. We're going to talk to one of the graduates, and we're going to talk to the founder coming up here. And it doesn't matter. This is a Portland program. So I want to say this to all of our listeners out there across the country, but I want you to find, this is not the only program out there. Find that one in your city and help out if you don't want to donate to this one. Or more importantly, why don't you start one in your community? Because this is such a brilliant idea that it should be going across the country. They're doing something really cool that here in Portland, but I really want to see this be a national thing because, I mean, it's shocking. And we're not going to get to all of this in the show, but they have a 90% success rate.
So what do they measure success as?
They follow up with their trainees
for 3 years afterwards
to make sure they're still in the field and still using the
skills. They still help them. Yeah. So if they have a car breakdown 2 years at it and they can't get to work, they help them with that. So they have a support program for 3 years afterwards, and some of them go 5 and 7. They continue to help these people.
I mean, and this is all about giving people who just need that extra helping hand and giving them the skills and the tools they need to succeed, to turn their life around. People that, you know, they may want to, but they just might not have the ability or the exposure to be able to, you know, get their feet back underneath them. So, and like you said, there are programs like this all across the country, and we need them.
Yeah.
Especially since no one learns skills in school anymore.
Not in a lot of schools. Yeah. I mean, there's always exceptions, but yeah, most of them, they're not. And then we're going to be, you know, it's one of the things with where we're at now, we're all our own IT professional. You know, we're all trying to troubleshoot everything going on out there. And well, guess what? We're going to talk about trying to be your own IT professional, because we've got some serious discussions about where do you set up your router, some of those kind of things. And this is not a paid commercial, guys. So I have Todd from Comcast on here, which is Xfinity. And I've got him coming on the show because I really wanted to kind of get down to the people that are the cable providers and not just bring on another expert out there and talk about setting up Wi-Fi, but I really wanted to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of a company that does it across the country and really get it kind of from the horse's mouth, shall we say, and figure out what's the best way to do some of these things. Because you can set up your Wi-Fi router in the complete wrong place of the house, and guess what? You got a hot mess. And now your Zoom meetings aren't working and all those kind of things.
Well, and this guy, he's got like 15 years of experience of troubleshooting. So he knows the issues that most people have.
Absolutely. So these are the things that are going to really get you there. We'll be talking to Constructing Hope in just a few minutes. But when we come back, we're going to talk about dust masks around the workshop, which you should be using just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey everybody, it's JT from Barbecue Nation. If you're listening to Around the House, you can also hear Barbecue Nation on this platform. That's Barbecue Nation, where we talk about outdoor cooking and fun. Holy diver, you've been down too long in the midnight sea. Oh, what's becoming of me?
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, make sure you catch the podcast. And, you know, this show is going to be one of those shows where we're going to have multiple podcasts out of it. So we're going to have this one here, which is going to have the Constructing Hope people on it. And then we're going to have one as well where we're going to have the whole Comcast interview, because these interviews get caught up for radio. So if you're hearing it on the radio, make sure you catch the podcast, because that way you hear it unedited and end to end.
You're actually going to get everything. When we definitely want to give you the most important parts of the interview, but hey, we want to be able to also give you the whole thing. So we do that over on the podcast, which you can find at aroundthehouseonline.com.
That way you can catch it all there, and it's just end to end, and it's a good way to go. That way we don't have these commercial breaks and stuff that we get for terrestrial radio.
Yeah, and having to cut off a guest or something like that, it always kind of throws a speed bump into their storytelling, which we never really like to do.
Yeah, so we've been doing it this way, which is a little more of a, well, podcast type format.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, give us a call in the studio, 971-233-8992. That's 971-233-8992 with all your questions. That's a 24/7 access line. Give us a call. We'll call you back and leave your name, city, information on what the project you're working on is, and we're here to help you.
Oh yeah, we don't sell that, any of that information as well. Like, that just comes to us and we don't give it to anybody else.
And if you're really bored, head over to aroundthehouseonline.com and read our privacy thing, which is about 6 pages long, and it tells you exactly how we don't do anything with it.
Yep.
So that's what it's there for. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about dust mask safety, because, you know, we've been hearing it all around.
for everything else, but I want to talk about our workshop, like actual, you know, like what you use them for in the workplace.
Yeah, what I've used them for my whole life and how they work with that around the shop. And I just, this is not a virus discussion, but this is about keeping things out of your lungs. So what I want to say is that it's, and it's an important subject because, you know, so many people out, you'll see in the trades, and they'll be out cutting concrete and they've got dust everywhere and a bandana. Well, first, that's a
wrong way of doing
that. Yeah. First off, that dust is a massive OSHA violation anyway, so you should not have concrete dust flying around everywhere. So if you see somebody doing that, they should be cutting it with water, and that's its own big, massive silica dust fine is what that
is. It should also be self-contained, too, right?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. They make tools now that have vacuum systems mm-hmm. and water, and so you don't have any dust coming off of that. Even then, you shouldn't be using a bandana because tests say that a bandana with dust only works about 20% of the particles. So you still got 80% of that junk out there going into your lungs. So it's not great for anything like that. You know, bandanas are great for keeping the sun off your neck, but they're not great as a filter medium when you're talking silica dust and these kind of things. And so that's the first problem. You should be having a respirator on for something like that that is designed to take out silica dust because that is a cancer-causing material. And yeah, that's in concrete, that's in stone. That silica is something that you need to be careful with. So that's one of the things. And the same goes when you're working around the wood shop. You know, if you're cutting pressure treated materials, or even worse, you know, pressure treated materials these days are using copper sulfates and things like that as the pressure treating material that keeps the bugs from eating it. It's still copper, it's still wood, so you want to use just like your normal dust mask with that.
Still not something you want in your lungs.
No. You know, just your, you know, N95 mask will work great for that. When you're getting into the asbestos and lead and all these other things, you need to be wearing the proper, again, just not your dust mask. You're now talking high-grade respirator with the right cartridge to do that. And that's one of those things that you want to make sure you're doing the right stuff. That is going to be your secret to success with this stuff. You know, just I keep seeing people, hey, I wore my bandana, I wet it down, I'm great. Nah, I only got 20% of the stuff. I just want to make sure that we use a little more common sense when we're dealing with this stuff. And I tell you what, there have been some crazy online stories that I've been watching with people doing stuff online with projects, and I'm like, what are you doing? Don't do that. Oh, I removed most of the asbestos myself. Oh, no. You know, it's so easy to spread that stuff around your house. Yeah. And just a little common sense goes so far with this stuff.
Especially, and I don't want to get too much in the weeds on Corona and all that, but when everyone's taking these steps to protect themselves out in public, but then they come home and all of those precautions kind of go out the window. No, we still need to protect ourselves in our home, too.
Exactly.
From silica dust and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I got a funny one that's going to air, Morgue de Organ segment that's going to air this next week. So I did the DXV bidet toilet seat install.
Okay.
Now this is roughly a $900,000 toilet seat.
This is your high for the toilet seat bidet. This is about
one of the higher ends
you can go.
Yeah, I mean, you can spend a lot more money on them, but I mean, you can get the one at the toilet and spend thousands of dollars.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But
it's
yeah,
just the toilet seat. It's yeah, like a full appliance.
And so it's been kind of interesting with that. I'm kind of in the first week of that now, and I'll share that segment up on Around the House with Eric G, and it'll eventually go up on AroundTheHouseOnline.com. But the fun part of that is that has been interesting because it affects my other stuff. Like I saw my Sense home energy monitor go, we found another heater. And I'm like, yeah, it's got two heaters built into it because it has a toilet seat heater and a water heater. So that's the difference between when you're dealing with bidet toilet seats. You can buy the $100 one, which has no heated surfaces, no fan, no nothing.
No heated water.
No nothing. Yeah, it's it does. It comes out of the faucet eventually, but most of the time you're getting a cold splash of water, which isn't pleasant. But when you're dealing with the higher end ones, you have a remote control, you have all these different things that it does with a charcoal filter and sensors and things like that. It's really smart how those things work. And so it's just one of those things that give them a try. I'm impressed. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk with our friends over at Constructing Hope. This is a great story you should pay attention to just as soon as Around the House returns. To Around the House with Eric T. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. We've got some special guests on the line today, and you might have heard here a month or two ago, I had Dave Dahl on here talking about Constructing Hope, and now I've got everybody on. I want to welcome a whole phone load full of Constructing Hope. Welcome, guys, to Around the House.
Hey, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, guys. Well, I want everybody to introduce themselves so people can put kind of voices to names so they can keep track of this conversation. So, Dave, why don't you start there, and we'll just kind of work around the room, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm Dave Dahl, and I was your prison pappy back in the day. But, yeah. I actually am known for creating a product called Dave's Killer Bread, and I am just at this point trying to, you know, I get excited about organizations like Constructing Hope, and that's what I'm doing now.
You got it. You got it. Just a few weeks ago, we had that Morgan de Oregon segment, which brings us to Pat. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric. My name is Pat Daniels, and I'm the Executive Director for Constructing Hope Career Apprenticeship Training Program. Thanks for inviting me today.
No problem. This is such a big deal. And then you've got Bob over there with you as well, right?
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
That's right, yeah. So my stage name is Bob Hope, but my real name is Bobby Hamilton. I'm currently the case manager here at Constructing Hope.
Nice. Nice. Well, let's talk.
I met Bob early on on the job side, I think. I'm not sure, but I was duly impressed with the guy who's turned his life around. So.
Nice. I love him, man. Congrats. And now you're out helping other people. So that's double down awesome from where I come from. Well, Pat, let's give some background here on Constructing Hope, and let's talk about what you're doing here as well. So I'll let you just kind of run with it for a minute here and give the background so people can understand what we're talking about today.
Okay. Constructing Hope was actually created to help the needs of the people in the Northeast community. Back in 1995, we saw gentrification happening. So we have a mission of putting people to work in the construction industry by rebuilding the lives of people in our community, encouraging self-sufficiency through skill training and education in the construction industry. And we do that by offering a free 10-week training program that Bobby's going to talk a little bit more about. In that 10 weeks, we load you up with a lot of certifications. We introduce you to 6 to 8 different trades. We have you do a lot of different things, reading, writing papers, doing math, hands-on. And at the end of that 10 weeks, we have job developers that actually help you enter a trade and start a career in the trade of your choice.
Nice.
So we serve people of color. We target people who are formerly incarcerated. So I can say about 75%, anywhere from 60 to 75% of the people that actually come through the program have some type of formal background. And the other is low income. Everyone that comes through this program is 100% low income.
That is awesome.
Love it.
That is awesome. And man, as we've talked before, with the need of people, you know, getting themselves either back on track or out of poverty or both, and then the huge need, and where we're missing so many people in the trades, it's kind of like the two perfect storms colliding.
Absolutely. So, and I think Bobby can even speak to that even more as an employee here now who is also a graduate of the program. So I'd love to tell you all about it, but I think it comes better when you can hear it firsthand from somebody who's been through the program.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So, and Dave, we actually met it with fall 2018.
Oh, did we really? Where?
Yeah, that's when we were working out at Dignity Village building a tiny home.
There we go.
Yeah, and that was something set up actually through Constructing Hope as a part of my hands-on training at that time. And that's when Dave had come through trying to get more information and looking at possibly being a partner and working with Constructing Hope at that point.
Well, that's really cool to hear, man. You and I need to sit down and have lunch sometime.
For sure, yeah. That'd be awesome.
All right.
That's great. So, yeah. So let's hear, Bobby, let's hear your story about kind of how Constructing Hope has really got you to where you're at today.
Yeah. For me, I had gotten to a point in my life where I was dealing with a lot of personal issues and, I just didn't handle them the best way. A little bit of self-sabotage could be included in that also. But I had gotten past that and I was really looking to get my life back on track. It had been dead end after dead end of trying to find something that would provide me and my family with a livable wage, and I was having a really, really hard time. Now, I didn't mind putting in hard work, but at some point, you got to kind of figure out what your worth is. And it had been about a year, year and a half of me struggling job to job until I actually came across Constructing Hope, decided to finally look into it, and man, I've been running with it ever since.
Nice.
For me, it was really the first thing that not only sparked my interest as far as what I needed to be able to provide for my family, but it was something, and the people working here, the program itself, they didn't look down on me like I felt like other places did. And then they were more than willing to go and bend over backwards to help me reach what I was working for. And so for me, even maneuvering through the program, it's just truly been a blessing in that sense of having people behind me that I knew if I hit another rough patch, I could bring it to them, or they might even pick up on something before I realized what was going on. So for me, coming through again, every first day after leaving here, I was telling everybody about the program, trying to get other people in, because this wasn't something for me growing up that was even offered or that I even knew about. So I was spreading the word like crazy in that sense. I did a lot of stuff even before working here to give back and that sort of thing, because I understood what this program was doing, was trying to do. And then, of course, what we, since I work here, what this program can do for people. So, yeah, I can't say enough about the program. So from social media to whatever, you might see me all over the place promoting. So,
and hey, what's his moniker, man?
What's that?
What's your moniker, anyway?
Oh, yes. Bob Hope.
Gotta love that one, man.
That one's sticking with me, so we'll just leave it at that. So
here we go.
Yep, Bobby, you got something, a lot to be proud of, man. So that's really cool. And I'll be honest, Dave, I think Dave, you and I hit lunch right after you did that, because you and I had gone to lunch, year and a half ago and talked about this. And yes, you had just been out there. So I think that timing was the first time we talked about it was back then. And so I couldn't make I was trying to do a more Good Day Oregon segment back there, but I just couldn't get the timing right for it to work out with stuff with that.
Well, this is the best timing right now.
It is. And so I'm so happy we're doing this. And Dave, let's talk about how you got, you guys met back then, but you've really jumped into the picture with Constructing Hope now, and I really like this story.
Well, I was really, I consider myself very fortunate because, we choose where we go in life, right? We choose, make the next choice. We envision something, and we go out and do it, right? Mm-hmm. My good friend, because I decided that I wanted to do something beyond just, be about me, I was about, well, wait a minute, I got to give back. I've gone through some tough times myself recently, and I was like, okay, I got to give back. How am I going to do it? First, I went out to Central City Concern. I asked them about what I could do. I met a great guy named Billy Hanfield. He was just an amazing guy, older gentleman who does great things with Central City Concern. And he took me over to Constructing Hope because he understood that it was a good connection. And but when I saw it, I was like, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know, exactly like Bob said, I did not know that something like this existed. And I was so happy to see that it did. And I was like, okay, great. This is my cause.
Yeah. And I mean, it aligns so well with what you've been doing out there, you know, with your time with Dave's Killer Brad. I mean, you just, this just ties in together so cleanly.
If you don't mind, let me tell you why it aligns so well. I was a complete knucklehead, and you know, that's why I don't judge knuckleheads too much. During my fourth trip to prison, I was fortunate enough to get into a computer-aided drafting program, which is just trade. And the trade is related to construction. And I could not believe that I was actually quite capable. And I'm like, and you know, this was the beginning for my future, which ended up being Dave's Killer Bread. I was fortunate enough to get it with my family and create a product. But none of that would have been possible without this great experience that I had learning the trade. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm very optimistic about people and, Constructing Hope is an optimistic program. It's a very positive program that helps people do what I've done. And I get excited about that.
And you should. It's awesome. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we've gotten up through this and Constructing Hope, you know, you guys have had your struggles this year with the COVID stuff. And, you know, that changes how education goes. It changes how grants get given out and all that stuff. And now we've kind of turned around the corner and you guys have this Leveling the Playing Field campaign going on right now.
It sounds like Pat needs to take that one.
You got it.
Yeah. Right now, we have Leveling the Playing Field virtual fundraising campaign. It's going to go through July 24th, so we have one more week for people to help support us. Our goal is to raise awareness about Constructing Hope. We've talked about 1995, but in the program, we really did take all of our funding and just put it into making sure that we had successful graduates. So now we need to let everybody know that we're here in the neighborhood and to come and join us with this work in the community. So the great thing about this fundraiser is that Dave has a matching gift and we're going to double his initial match of $50,000. So we'll match all donations up to $100,000.
Wow. So wait a minute. Okay, I did a $50,000 match and now I'm doing a $100,000 match, right?
Nice.
And other people are doing a match.
So we set this up so that we have a three-way match. So with Dave's dollars, we have a match from Dave, and we also have a match from our industry.
Nice. That is
the contractors in the industry.
That is awesome.
So we're hoping that at the end of this campaign, we'll have $200,000.
Nice. So when people go over to constructinghope.org and see that orange bar across the top and right click up in the very top right, that donate button, they're getting some serious money matched for what they donate.
Yeah.
So I just want to share that the community has really rallied behind this campaign, and it's just been over a week and we have raised more than $50,000. So it's such with Dave's opportunity to match, in addition to the construction partners coming together to match, his gifts and all the gifts in the campaign have tripled the impact of Constructing Hope's program.
That's so cool. I want to suggest something. Anybody out there that thinks this program is great, and you should think it's great, you know, you should do a little Facebook campaign for yourself, you know. Talk about the program and you know, just do a little Constructing Hope Facebook, fundraiser, and that would help a lot too.
You know, that's what's cool about with Facebook, at least, is they don't take a piece of the pie for that. So they, you know, you can actually do that on there without costing anybody any money and raise some funds. And social media, what not a more positive way to use social media these days? And I think that's a really smart idea.
Absolutely, Eric. And I'm going to defer to Bobby because he has, I am not the Facebook person, but Bobby has done an amazing job in just raising money on his Facebook page. So I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more about how to get involved and how to support it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So for sure, on Constructing Hope's main page, you'll see a link there. Like Pat said, I do have my own personal donation page set up. I've seen Dave's as well. So the word of mouth is really moving and more people are getting involved, which is great. Another way too, you can text donate or text Constructing Hope to 44321. And then that'll take you right to a donation page as well.
44321.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes. And that's another great avenue. And yeah, our social media is really picking up as of lately. Again, we were lucky enough now to be in a position where we can really start to put the word out about the program. And thanks largely to Dave for that. And you too as well, Eric. Yeah, I commented before about you guys using your platforms, which has helped us tremendously. Things are moving in a good direction at this point.
Thanks, man. Thanks. And everybody out there in the listening audience, from the radio show to the podcast, you guys can be doing the same thing by just sharing this out there. And, you know, we have a lot of people that need help, and we have a lot of jobs to fill out there as well. So let's marry this perfect storm together and raise some money so these great folks at Constructing Hope can get people off into a great career path. And what's cool with you guys is you're not just putting people in jobs. You guys are putting people into lifelong careers that give them skills for so many things that they can do that works in the job site and it works in their personal life.
Eric, and you know what's even greater? When we look at the current situation and then say, what are the essential jobs? Guess what? Construction is in that list too. So there's your fire department, your medical people, but construction has not stopped. Yep. So when people think about what a great career and something that's an essential job, construction and infrastructure is not going to change.
No.
And it's a great career.
No, and we literally have, you know, across the country right now, even with today's times, with all the joblessness we have out there due to the COVID situation, I mean, there's still hundreds and hundreds of thousands of jobs across the U.S. that are completely empty and not filled because we don't have people with the right job skills to do it. And you guys are getting people just spooled up ready to fill those positions.
Right. I think last year the demand was they needed about 20,000 people to enter the construction industry just this year alone. So now we're moving into even more work. So the demand for just the construction trade on all levels is critical. So if anyone is interested in getting into construction, now is the time.
It is. And the great thing, too, is if you have, you know, you get a job, you get this career going, it's something that you can take anywhere in the country and have a great paying job.
That's very true. And we actually have a couple graduates that have done that. I've also helped assist some graduates moving back in state and transferring back over their books and their training hours and that sort of thing as well. So, but not only is it a great career for a person right now, this is also skills, both hard and soft skills, interpersonal skills that can be passed on to their children to keep that wealth and that knowledge within their families as well and continue that on for generations.
Man. I also want to say that, you know, even though this is a great way to learn to be a great employee and really love your life, there are some people who are entrepreneurial by nature, and this is a great start because you can get out there and you can create and you can become a contractor. It, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but it's an opportunity that way too.
That hard work always pays off.
That's and Dave, right. I'm happy to hear you say that because we're really proud to say and want to highlight that since 2006, we have 8 graduates that have become small contractors.
I've seen these people. I love it.
And you did work with one. You met two.
Yes, I get so excited. Man, I can't think of a pure joy to me. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that is great. That is great.
It just transcends all the negativity that you see.
No kidding. Right. No kidding. Well, hey, let's go over these details one more time before we wrap this up, because there's so much good information here. I know people can go over to constructinghope.org and hit that right there, because that's just that's the website for you guys where people can jump on and donate. And then there's that text to donate as well.
And what was that number again?
Text construct hope 44321.
And we're going to put all this stuff down below on the websites and podcast notes and all this other stuff. So we're going to have all this stuff easy. If you're listening to this right now, you know, head over to the podcast and you can catch all the detail there. I'll have active links there so everybody can do all this stuff and take care of all that stuff. You know, I really love what you guys are doing with this pre-apprenticeship program and getting people into the trades that can use it the most. And Pat, I see some exciting stuff with this moving ahead. Once you guys get through leveling the playing field, I mean, this is a great fundraiser, but I see, man, the difference you guys are making. It's pretty epic.
Epic. That's it.
Yes, thank you. We're excited about it. And you know what? It's the people like Bobby that makes the difference. When people have an opportunity to change, they will. You know, and I say the way we introduce people to the trades, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we laugh about here is we see the folks come and it's like, oh, I'm going to be an electrician. And then they come out and they become a plumber.
Yep.
And so, yeah. And so all of it is really great on our end. We're just happy to see that we're making an effort to help diversify the trades, to get more people of color and women in the trades and support them to the point of becoming a journey person and starting their own business.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what's great these days is that those opportunities are so ripe for that now. You know, 20 years ago, it was much harder for a lot of people to get into the trades. And now those doors are much more open. They need a little more open, and don't get me wrong, but we're heading down the right path with it.
Yeah, 100%. And one thing I would like to add as well is one thing that we do offer is we ask for a 3-year commitment post-graduation. So basically what that means is up to 3 years following your graduation, after completion, we're going to check in on you. We're going to see how things are going with the job. We're going to see if you need any resources. It's just for us to touch base and keep up with you. And like for me right now, we're actively are Constructing Hope, along with our new job developers, are working with a couple graduates that are 4 years out and one is 6 years out. So we ask for a 3-year commitment. And again, that's for us to follow up, make sure things are going well. If you're having any issues whatsoever, we help you find the proper resources or help you maneuver through that. But even beyond that, if you reach out to us, we're not going to turn you away. We'll always do what we can to make sure that things are going as good as possible and make sure that you're progressing through whichever trade you decide you want to go to, because you do pitch it at the end of completion of the program, and we're just always here to help support you in every way we can.
Man, that's awesome. So it's not like they went to a big 4-year college and got kicked out the door and got handed the degree and went, good luck, never call us again unless we're looking for a donation. Now you guys are actually going back and following up and making sure that they've got the right resources to be successful in whatever they're doing.
That's correct. And I have had a couple graduates kind of get annoyed because we do monthly check-ins post-graduation just to be sure that we're tracking everything and updating our records. And truly it's a benefit for them as well, because we can kind of see the progression of their career, but also it's a more frequent check-in to make sure that they're not having any other issues. And so with our new staff, our job developers, our other case manager, we're really in a position now to be able to truly do that every month and be able to make sure people are doing well or then facilitate any sort of resource they may need.
That is great. That is great. That's the human side of this that I just absolutely adore so much, that it's your job is never done, it seems. And that's what's really cool with this.
Right, and again, while we do focus on the trades, building those skills, right, everybody needs to learn how to swing a hammer properly, be safe on the job site. We do focus on those interpersonal skills, how you interact with people, how you may interact with your foreman or your superintendent or another tradesman next to your side, tradesman or tradeswoman. So we really focus on the whole person coming through our program. So as soon as they hit the doors, we're already hopefully have job placement or apprenticeship placement for them upon graduation.
Man, that is great. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on the show.
What is the percentage of folks who, if you don't mind, who are successful in this program? Well, once they have graduated this program, what is the percentage of folks who move on to get a decent job?
Last year, we had a 90% placement rate.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I had that.
Yeah. Thanks for the setup, Dave. That was mind-blowing. Yeah. 90%.
We are so excited about that. And that's when you say you haven't heard about us. That's why. Because everything that we have has truly gone into making sure that our graduates are successful. And you know that in construction, you might come in and work for a week, and then you're going to be off for 2 or 3 weeks. So that's where we're trying to help them through that rough spot to hang in there, that the career is worth it. So a lot of our support dollars are going in that area to make sure that they have the boots, the tools, everything that they need. We're going to pay your union dues and your initiation fees to make sure that, you know, you're going to get to that first paycheck. We're going to give you a gas card.
Man.
So we have a great hand up, not a handout, in our folks.
And people can help on this level of so many things. I had a guy, people, please do. I had a guy, a friend of mine, he saw it on Facebook. He's like, can they use some hand sanitizer? Because I have hand sanitizer. I can give them a lifetime supply of hand sanitizer. So, stuff like that.
Yes, but COVID, yes, we can take that because we'll need to buy it. We have a lot to do to reopen.
Right.
Yep. And same thing with power tools and wood products and all that different stuff. There's other ways to help with this kind of stuff.
Tools are really, really important, right? And obviously, Pat has had some good success with getting people to donate tools, I think.
So. Oh, I'm gonna work with Pat on this one here because I got plenty of tool people that I know out there, and I'm gonna see what we can do with that. I'm just still blown away, 90%. I mean, I think the college education, if you go to a nice 4-year school, I think their success rate is 62%. So that puts that into an amazing category at that level.
I think that's a big nod to the organization and the quality of the organization, the sincerity of the organization.
Yeah, that is absolutely just stunning, stunning. Pat, great work for what you're doing there, and Bobby, it's awesome to see what you're doing there as well, and your success story, and of course Dave for stepping up and taking that ball and knocking it out of the park here as well. This is exciting, and can't wait here in another week to get the update, and we'll talk about it on the radio as well because I'm curious to see how successful we can be after the 24th on this.
I really hope your listeners get this and love this and take it on.
Yep, absolutely. You're going to see my social media up with it just like yours is, and let's see what we can do. Guys, thanks. Everybody head to constructinghope.org and you can donate there, get more information, and of course, feel free to message me at the radio show if you need to step up or just get right a hold of Constructing Hope at constructinghope.org. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it. This was a great time today.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you, Eric.
For more information, head to constructinghope.org. That's constructinghope.org. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.